Welcome to Words, Words, Words. This is your host, Robert Tinajero. On today's episode, we're going to talk about cussing and specifically about one word. And so if you have a kid with you or somebody that you don't want hearing the F word many times, then you can pause this or listen to it another time. But I'm going to be talking about the F word. And as somebody that studies language, right, it's interesting to me that even on a podcast and as somebody that cusses pretty often, you know, in appropriate situations, like when I'm with my closest friends or family, like it still feels weird to say the F word on a podcast, but we're going to jump in. So that was the warning. So we are talking about the word fuck. And I am taking all of this information from a great little book called Nine Nasty Words from a linguist, John McWhorter. So what's really interesting about this is this linguist, John McWhorter, writes about these nine cuss words, but he does write about them in a very smart and interesting way where he's talking about the history of the words, the etymology of the words, and he's talking about how they are used or how they were used throughout history and even how they're used today. So I'm going to start with the first known use of the word fuck, and it was actually in a phrase referring, one monk or an abbot was referring to another monk as a fucking abbot. And so this was in a Latin manuscript of a text written by Cicero. And so the monk was writing notes, writing parenthetical notes in the book. And so he writes fucking abbot. What's interesting is it doesn't have the G on the end. It's fucking kind of is similar to how we might write it or say it today without the G at the end. So he was referring to another abbot that obviously he didn't think highly of. And before fucking abbot, it said it had O space D fucking abbot. And so originally some people thought that maybe it was the O space D was just missing the L and he was referring to old damn abbot. But more research was done on it, and so these researchers and linguists think that the OD actually stands for oh damned fucking abbot, right? And so obviously this person was trying to put down this other monk for whatever reason. And what's interesting is that at the time, right, it wasn't as big an issue to say fucking, but it was more of an issue to write the word damned. So things that were seen as unholy or going against God, like damned, that wouldn't be written out, but the word fucking would be, which is interesting, right? Because today it's like the total opposite. Like it's a lot more common for somebody to say damn or damned or damn it or to write down those words, but then to avoid writing the word fuck or fucking. But at the time in 1528, as the book put it, it said profanity first involved the holy and only later the holes, right? Which is a kind of creative way of saying, right, at the time it was kind of seen as worse to involve God and the holy in a word like the word damned, and that wouldn't be written out, but it was fine for fucking to be written out at the time. That wasn't seen as that big of a deal. So that is the earliest reference we have to kind of our more contemporary use of the word fuck or fucking. And so that was 1528. So to move forward, this is kind of a timeline that jumps around. And what the book says, if we have the word fucking existing in 1528, then the word fuck must have predated that. And it kind of writes it in an interesting way. The author of this book says, where there is fucking, there must already be fuck, right? So if this abbot was using the word fucking, then the word fuck must have predated that, even though we don't have it written, we don't have proof of it being written and being used in the way that we use it nowadays, okay? And so if we go back, as researchers try to find where the word originated, right? We find the word fukit, F-U-K-K-I-T, and this was Scottish in 1503. And so we have a poem, a poet named William Dunbar writes these lines. He clap it fast, he kissed and chuck it, as with the glycus he were our gain, yet be his ferris, he walled have fuck it. And so translated into English, more modern English, that means he held fast, he kissed and fondled, as with the feeling he was overcome, it seemed from his manner he would have fucked. Okay, and so this obviously is connected to our modern use of the word fuck, and this is an earlier time period, right, 1503, but it is not spelled how we spell it. It's F-U-K-K-I-T, but clearly we can make that, well, it's not so clear the more you read this chapter, but some would say that is kind of a clear connection to our modern word fuck, F-U-C-K, because this one is spelled F-U-K-K-I-T. And so some people think that that is the earliest reference to our word fuck, but once again, it is spelled differently. And so something else the book points out is going back to 1475, we have a text that has this word that is spelled G in our modern English alphabet, G-X-D-D-B-O-V, okay? And a certain friar was being written about, and they were questioning his chastity. And so they said in the Latin, non sunt in colae. So they're saying that this friar or certain friars are not in heaven. So non sunt in colae are not in heaven because G-X-D-D-B-O-V and then a next word X-X-K-X-Z-T, next word P-G, next word I-F-M-K. And so once again, this was a text that was kind of mixing up both Latin and English. And so ultimately, this phrase meant, let me find it here in my notes. The ending of that, or the first word of that, the G-X-D-D-B-O-V, at first it was confusing me, spells a word fucant, F-U-C-C-A-N-T, which means they fuck. And that whole phrase meant that they fuck the wives of a city called Ali. So they fuck the wives of Ali. But then I was confused, like how can this word that is spelled G-X-D-D-B-O-V spell the word fucant, F-U-C-C-A-N-T, which means our modern fuck. And so the interesting thing is that it was kind of written in code, right? So a lot of this text was written in code. And so you had to understand the code to realize it was the word F-U-C-C-A-N-T, fucant. And so those letters, G-X-D-D-B-O-V, if you take the letter that goes before that, it spells fucant. And this gets confusing. So the first letter G, the letter that comes before that is F. But then the next letter in that word is X. But what's interesting is that the alphabet of that time is not exactly the same of the alphabet that we have now. And so that X is actually a V. So what comes before V is the U. Okay, so it's G-U, and then we get D-D, the two letters before that are F-F. And then we get a B, we get a B, so the letter before that is A, so that's F-U-C-C-A, and then we get a O, the letter before that is an N, And then once again, because of the alphabet at the time, we get a V, but that would stand for the letter before that with the alphabet at the time is a T. Okay, so I'm sure it's confusing, because if you're not like reading it and totally understanding what I'm saying, then you may not understand how that is the word Foucault. But basically it was coded. Using English and Latin and using the letters that came after the actual letter. And so this GXDDBOV of the time, 1475, spelled Foucault. And the whole sentence was, they fuck the wives of Ellie. Okay, so that was 1475. And I hope that didn't confuse you. If it did, once again, you should go check out this great book called Nine Nasty Words, English in the Gutter by John McWhorter. Okay, the next reference is, it's not a specific reference, but it might seem like it's a direct reference to our modern use of the word fuck. But going all the way back to 1310 in Britain, right, in the Middle Ages, it was common for people in society to use various words for sex, excretion, sexual body parts, and those words were even common within people's names or the names of towns or the names of streets. And so we have real people with names like Simon Fuckbutter, Henry Fuckager, and Roger Fuck by the Navel. And there are also places in England called Fucking Grove, and various other names. And to us nowadays, right, this is funny to me, right, to even say these names and say these words. But at the time, that's why if we go back to 1310, the writer points out, right, just because they used that, they had that word fuck in certain names, that doesn't mean that it was being used in the same way that we use the word now, right, in the 21st century, or even earlier than that. And so back once again in 1310, it wasn't uncommon for the word fuck to be even in people's names. And so another example, going all the way back to 1278, we have a gentleman named John Le Fucker. And right to us, that is funny. At least to me, it's funny that would be somebody's name. But right, all that is a kind of evolution of like French names, like Fulquier and Fulker, F-U-L-C-H-I-E-R and F-U-L-K-E-R. And so as names evolved, that turned into John Le Fucker, right? So John the Fucker, right? But once again, that doesn't mean that they were using the word fuck or fucker in the way that we use it nowadays. It was just common at the time for that word or those four letters to be included in names. Okay, next, the author goes into talking about how there's a word in German, right, which predates English, and this is ficken, F-I-C-K-E-N, and he points out that this means to rub, but that there's no like direct links from the German word ficken to our modern word fuck, and so it probably did not come from the German. Okay, another word in Old English is fucan, F-U-C-A-N. So fucan as the root word of our modern English word fuck is unlikely, and it's not documented, even though it is possible that it could be the beginnings of words like fuck and other words like fadge and fitch, and some other words. So it's possible that fucan, F-U-C-A-N, in Old English is a root word of our modern word fuck, but the author points out that is a bit of a stretch and it can't be really proven. Okay, and then if we go back even further, this is 787 AD, the Norwegian Vikings had a word F-U-K-K-A, fuka, so the Vikings may have brought this word to England, and it could have eventually evolved into the word fuck over time, but there isn't any direct proof that this F-U-K-K-A word evolved into our modern word fuck. Okay, and so ultimately, I thought this sentence was really funny from the book. The author writes, this word shall likely ever remain the mysterious little fuck that it is. So it's a mysterious little word that we can guess at. We can theorize that it's connected to certain root words. And we definitely have that first reference referring to the fucking abbot going back to 1528. But before that, we aren't sure what the root word was or where exactly it came from. And so the chapter ends by talking about how this word fuck was pretty common before the 1500s. But after the 1500s, you can rarely find the word in printed text. It's almost like it became, a word that shouldn't be written down. I imagine it was being used as people talked, but you can't find a lot of examples of it in text after the 1500s. And the author points out that the word fuck does not appear in any dictionary from 1795 all the way to 1965. Okay, and this doesn't mean that it wasn't commonly used in everyday vernacular, because there are certain references to it or it being hidden in language, and we get a few examples. And so one quick example it points out is that in World War II, we come up with this word snafu, and you've probably heard the word snafu, which kind of means like a mistake, but that actually, each letter stands for a word, and snafu stands for situation normal, all fucked up. And that was just an example, right, of how we know the word was in use, we just can't find it in text, like hardly. Another example goes to blues music from 1935, right? And this is still in the period where the word fuck is not in dictionaries, and you can't really find it in print, but we find it every once in a while and kind of know that it must have been commonly used as people spoke, right, in everyday life. And so in one other example is in blues music. We have a song, 1935, by Lucille Bogan. And if you want a song that is very sexual, going back to 1935, I suggest you look up the song. I believe it is called Shave Me Dry or Shave 'Em Dry. And if you look up the lyrics, it uses fuck and a lot of sexual imagery. I won't read the lyrics here, but go check out that song. Once again, it's called Shave 'Em Dry or Shave Me Dry by Lucille Bogan, B-O-G-A-N. And so this word fuck has evolved, and it's complex, and it can mean any number of things, from sex to destruction to deception to dismissal, etc. And the book points out just a handful of those ways that we use it. So the phrases, fuck you, oh well, fuck that, what the fuck is this, get the fuck out of here, you fuck, you stupid fuck, I don't give a fuck, that's fucking brilliant, get your fucking hands off me, he fucked him over, she got fucked in the deal, you fucked up, and just the classic fuck, right? And so if you're somebody that cusses or uses the F word, and even if you don't, you probably understand that it can be used in several different ways. And so I always like to leave you all with, you know, kind of a question or something to think about. One of them is, do you use the word fuck, and have you ever thought about why or why not? Do you use it in only certain situations around certain people, and why do you think that is? Or maybe you can think about who are the people in your life you would use that word around or not around. Something else you can think about is, if you are a parent, do you cuss around your kids? Because I have family and friends that have kids, and some of them try to never cuss around their kids, especially with the word fuck. And then I have other friends and family members that say, no, I'm gonna cuss. My kids hear me cussing, but they know not to use a word, or they know that you can't use it all the time with all people. And then there's a whole kind of spectrum between that of how we approach using cuss words, and specifically what's seen as a more harsh cuss word is the word fuck. And then the last thing is, right, as somebody that studies rhetoric, right, who doesn't just kind of look at language, but looks at how it is used in society, how it's perceived, how it might even be used in persuasion. I wrote a poem a couple years ago about my hometown, El Paso. And at the end of the poem, I kind of wanted to portray that El Pasoans were strong, beautiful people. And I was going to read this poem in front of some people, including a lot of my family members a couple years ago. And I ended the poem with, "We are fucking beautiful." And I purposely wanted fucking in there to kind of emphasize that. But then I realized I was going to be in front of a lot of family members, some of them who wouldn't like that. And so I had to decide, does it make sense for me to do this? And ultimately, I decided, yes, I want to do that. I thought that emphasis at the end of the poem really worked. And I even had one of my aunts at the end say, "I loved your poem, except I didn't like to use the F word at the end," right? So obviously people are going to take things differently. Some people love the poem and love the ending, others didn't. And so that is one experience I have with the word fuck and how it was connected to something I wrote. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Sorry for all the cussing, but I did warn you. Once again, the name of the book is 9 Nasty Words, English in the Gutter by John McWhorter. Check it out. Pretty fascinating book. Have a great day.